W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in Ukraine, where national police say an emergency services helicopter has crashed in a Kyiv suburb, killing 18 people, including the country's interior minister and three children. The BBC's James Waterhouse is in Brovary.
This is a devastating scene for Ukraine. Around the corner of this residential block, you can see the rotary blade of the helicopter. It is stuck on top of a vehicle. There are three or four bodies under foil blankets, and just across the way there is a kindergarten where there is smoke coming out of the roof.
No word yet on whether the crash was an accident. May Day, high above the Pacific, a Qantas flight issued a distress call over an engine issue mid-flight from New Zealand to Sydney. Some passengers say they weren't aware.
You wouldn't have known anything was going on, really. Until we landed, that was when we found out, really, that something had happened.
Others say they heard a bang and a slight shudder. The airline says the Boeing 737 managed to land safely on a single engine. No specifics on the problem. Now that the brutal storms have passed, Californians are dealing with a new problem. Hundreds of mudslides, like one that stopped a commuter train in its tracks in Alameda County. CBS's Jared Hill.
More than 200 riders had to evacuate. Authorities say nobody was hurt and the train didn't derail.
I think one of the scariest things was just walking by that car that the landslide fell on and just seeing all the rocks and debris.
Heavy rain from recent waves of severe storms that have battered California have caused more than 500 landslides.
A man from suburban Boston is expected to be arraigned on murder charges today and his wife's disappearance. Brian Walsh has already pleaded not guilty to misleading investigators. Norfolk District Attorney Michael Morrissey.
Additional details in the investigation and the evidence in support of those charges are likely to be presented at arraignment, but will not be disclosed at this time.
Anna Walsh, a real estate executive, was last seen on New Year's Day. Investigators say they found blood and a broken knife in the family home. There's more slimming down on the way at Microsoft. Wall Street Journal reports the company's planning to announce a new round of layoffs as soon as this morning after a drop in PC sales. That was fast for Rafael Nadal.
Game 7.
Defending champ ousted today in the second round at the Australian Open by American Mackenzie McDonald, who's never cracked the top 40 in world rankings. Nadal injured his right hip in the eighth game of the second set, went on to lose 6-4, 6-4, 7-5 in his quest for a 23rd Grand Slam trophy. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
If you're a business owner, imagine getting up to $26,000 per employee. There's still time to file for the Employee Retention Tax Credit Program. This program is for business owners who continue to pay their W-2 employees during the COVID pandemic. All business types and industries may qualify. You can claim the credit even if you received a PPP loan. The licensed CPAs and tax professionals at DH Tax and Consulting have been serving business owners across the country for over 15 years. Call us now at 833-ERC-FILE. That's 833-ERC-FILE.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Get off the endless debt treadmill and start saving money each month. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Call Total Financial now at 800-208-1312. 800-208-1312.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at midnight tonight and continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Overcast skies today with a high of 33. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 27. Tonight, snow likely. Overcast tomorrow, snow likely, 32. 4 to 8 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 31.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, there's a new book out, The Midnight Kingdom, A History of Power, Paranoia, and the Coming Crisis by Jared Yates Sexton that is really worth checking out. He also writes on Substack. In fact, I subscribe to his Substack newsletter, Jared Yates, JaredYatesSexton.substack.com. And on Twitter, it's JY Sexton. Just by coincidence, the author, Jared Yates Sexton, on the line with us. Jared, welcome back to the program. So tell us about your new book.
Well, first of all, thank you. It's a real honor. Huge fan of yours. And, you know, actually, the book is a lot like what you were just reading, the ancient text. There is right now a concentrated attack by the wealthy and the powerful through the Republican Party and through an authoritarian movement that is in the United States and around the world that is attempting to destroy liberal democracy in totality and to create a neo-feudal state. We spend a lot of time now hearing people tell us that the problem was Donald Trump, that somehow or another he perverted conservatism and the Republican Party. But this is what it has been about from the very beginning. It's about restoring hereditary power and also destroying democratic processes, basically as impediments to further empowering and further enriching the powerful and the wealthy.
Yeah, this is not a new narrative. I mean, your book, you go back to the Roman Empire. Aristotle, you know, was engaged in that conspiracy to overthrow the government. He was arguing that democracy was not a good thing. I mean, this was a debate at the founding of our republic. About a third of America wanted to stay with the king. There's always been this sense among humans, typically out of a sense of safety, I'm guessing, that, you know, we need some big, strong person to protect us. And then, of course, you've got, you know, the religious folks who think that wealth is a sign of God's blessing. It's the Calvinists. It's kind of intrinsic to their religion. How deeply embedded is this in human history, and how radical is democracy in that context in your mind?
I mean, democracy is a miracle. I mean, if you really take a look at feudalism, and this was a convergence of all of these powers, right? You had the theological leaders who basically created indoctrination, the idea that you should be subservient to these very special elite classed, you know, monarchs and lords. And if you weren't, of course, that meant that you had no opportunity to go into heaven. Plus, also, in that system, you know, there was no opportunity for advancement, no opportunity for anything to happen. Peasants were kept largely illiterate. The fact that we were able to pull ourselves out of that and fight out of that is a total miracle. And then to fight back with liberalism in totality, I mean, one of the most amazing things that humanity has ever done. But we've taken it for granted. We've believed that we were never going to go back, of course, that we had reached the end of history. And now, with the concentration of wealth and capital in just a few hands of a historic quality, the type of which, you know, you were talking about the East India Company, we now have reached this point. where liberal democracy, the entire idea, the ideology, the way that we organize the world, is in existential crisis. And the people who are funding this and the people who are working towards this goal, they want literally to destroy any representative government and to reinstate these neo-feudal states.
And what's their rationale for that?
Well, there's a lot of ideology behind it, and it goes back to, you know, what you were saying about the perversion of Christianity into this, like, capitalist Calvinism. The idea is that there are rightful leaders of the world, and you always hear that, whether it's with the Claremont Institute or, you know, with some of these wealthy billionaires. The idea is that they have been chosen by the universe because they are the most talented, and democracy gets in their way, right? And that they are the ones who should be running things, and the democracy leads to mediocrity. And the only reason that democracy exists, and this is, you know, part and parcel of what we're dealing with now, it's a story of conspiracy theories, that democracy is a way for, whether it's Jewish puppet masters, satanic cabals, or just liberal traitors to somehow or another undermine their genius. So what they're trying to do is to reinstate, in their minds, are the rightful rulers of the world.
Yeah, and what do we do about this?
Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was the fact that, you know, I come from a family of laborers, people who have largely been screwed over, and on top of that, have fallen prey to a lot of these conspiracy theories. But whenever you move away from something like Donald Trump and you know, red versus blue, Democrat versus Republican, and you start talking about top-down power and also exploitation, they start to understand it. And we need to start having a conversation about how wealth doesn't denote talent or competence, but it actually is more of a marker anymore of exploitation. And I think that we need to reignite democratic energy, small d of course, and also more of a grassroots movement to reform this government and to start fighting back against this authoritarianism.
We've been through these cycles, but we're talking with Jared Yates Sexton. His new book is The Midnight Kingdom, The History of Power, Paranoia, and the Coming Crisis. And I want to get to the coming crisis part too. You know, throughout our history, we have had these battles before. Teddy Roosevelt in you know, 1901, 1902, took on the oligarchs of his day after, you know, when he became president, when McKinley was shot, and, you know, pushed through, ultimately in 1907, pushed through the Tillman Act, which made it a federal crime, which included prison time for corporate CEOs, senior executives, lobbyists, and lawyers. If any corporation gave any money or any support of any sort to any politician running for any political office, in any federal political office. And, you know, this, of course, the Supreme Court blew that up in 2010 with Citizens United. But there was a robust discussion about this in the first century of the last century, the first decade of the last century. And that produced the 13th Amendment. It produced the income tax. It produced the corporate income tax. It produced the estate tax. What was different then from what's going on now? Was it just the panic, the great panics of 1896, and there was a second smaller one in 1898, or was it, or what was it? How is it that we at times get very populist in a progressive way, and then at times we get very populist in this kind of hardcore right wing Donald Trump, Ronald Reagan way?
Well, you know, when looking at all this, one of the things that we have to take, you know, a glance at is the fact that Teddy Roosevelt was able to fight those battles, and progressivism was able to win those battles because there were robust progressive people's movements involved in this. People got to the point where they were tired of trust and monopolies running their lives, and they started advocating for change. There was a people's movement behind that, in the same way that there was a people's movement behind the New Deal that eventually, you know, turned concentrated capital on its head in the 30s and the 40s. And one of the things that we don't like to talk a lot about in our history is that both of these things were opposed vigorously. You know, people like to imagine that FDR was elected and suddenly the New Deal came about. There were concentrated conspiracies against him as the wealthy started giving money to, proto-fascist. They were advocating possibly trying to take over the government. what we see is that whenever these movements start to take place, and I currently think we're in the beginnings of a people's movement. I think that we're starting to see this in labor, and we're starting to see this in, you know, regular people challenging Amazon and Starbucks and Apple. I think whenever those energies arise, you start to see these right-wing authoritarian movements rise up to oppose them. And so as a result, I think we're in the middle of a crisis, but I also think that we need to take a look at this and understand that there is a great opportunity here for something better to come out of this.
I think you're absolutely right. And let me again recommend your Substack newsletter, Dispatches from a Collapsing State. It's over at jaredyatesexton.com. Excuse me, .substack.com. You talk about the coming crisis. It's part of the title of your book. What crisis specifically are you talking about? When is it coming? And, you know, what should we be concerned about? What might we do about it?
Well, we have a collection of crises right now. We have a crisis of confidence. We have a crisis of confidence in leadership. We have economic crises. We have environmental crises. All of these things are starting to come to a head. And for a large part of this is because the neoliberal consensus that redistributed, and I always have to emphasize this, trillions with a T, trillions of dollars from the working and the middle class to the wealthiest 1%. We've now reached a point of historic inequality. You know, in the 80s and 90s, the wealthy flew private jets. We now have Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos who have private space agencies. That type of inequality almost always leads to a loss of institutional authority and effectiveness. And eventually, when there is a crisis, and there almost always is, those people tend to side with authoritarian energy. And as they are challenged, I mean, this is what we're seeing with Elon Musk now. There's a reason why he's moving to the right. These people are always going to protect their own wealth and their own power. And as this thing, as neoliberalism starts to reach sort of a crisis of its own, as globalism starts to roll back, as global climate change affects all of this, we're going to come to a crossroads. And it's going to look a lot like what the 1930s, 1940s looked like, but also before that, you know, Europe in the post-Napoleon era. Like, these are moments of change, and they are not easy, and they are not clean. They are very, very dangerous, but the window is open to make a better world.
And how best do we exploit that?
I think we have to disabuse ourselves of a lot of the notions that neoliberalism has taught us, that we're all in it for ourselves, that we can't trust anyone else, that we're powerless, that we're alone. And the only thing that we can do is vote with our dollars. You know, which corporation are we going to trust? Which corporation is going to best represent our political ideology? We have to stop looking for saviors and messiahs, and we have to get involved ourselves. We have to remember that democracy is a process we have to be involved with. We have to be on the ground. It's more than going to the voting booth every 2 to 4 years.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it really well. Do you see? I'm watching the Democratic Party reject. In fact, I just published a book about neoliberalism. You know, the Republican Party is still embracing it. The Democratic Party seems to be moving away rather rapidly. Although there's, you know, still the kind of Josh Gottheimer faction. Are you seeing the same thing? It seems like, you know, we're kind of at the end of an era. We've had this 40-year experiment with Reaganism. It's blown up in our face. We've got about 30 seconds, by the way, before we hit a hard break. I can't stop.
Yeah, no, I think that the right wing is moving toward an authoritarian capitalism, basically to reinforce neoliberalism. And I think the decision that we're going to have to make is, are we going to go back to a New Deal labor-based politics, or are we going to embrace the idea that, you know, white supremacy and patriarchal supremacy are what are going to be the institutions that keep this abreast? But it's a terrible tragedy if we go in that direction, and I think that we have to re-embrace the New Deal consensus.
Yeah, this whole idea of order and classes and whatnot. The old conservative, I mean, this goes back thousands of years. Jared Yates Sexton, his new book, The Midnight Kingdom, A History of Power, Paranoia, and the Coming Crisis. Also check out his Substack. It's titled Dispatches from a Collapsing State, jaredyatesexton.substack.com. Jared, thanks a lot for dropping by.
Thank you.
Great talking with you. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Back with more of the news of the day and your calls. Oh, I got to tell you about gas, fracked gas. This is an amazing story. Stick around. Every weekday, I write a new original article about one of the critical issues of our day and publish it on our website, HartmanReport.com. I write these entirely by myself, so you're getting my unvarnished thoughts on national and world events. There's no advertising, and you can get them every single weekday in your email at no charge whatsoever. Or just read them for free with no ads by going to HartmanReport.com. I cover topics from climate to Congress to politics to the law, as well as social and health issues. You can find it all at HartmanReport.com. Explore the quaint seaside villages and historic harbors of old New England with American Cruise Lines. You'll visit scenic Martha's Vineyard, beautiful Nantucket, and Bar Harbor. Enjoy an authentic lobster bake along the rocky shores of Maine aboard the newest fleet of small cruise ships. Relax on your private balcony, breathing in the ocean air as the crew provides the highest level of personalized service. Simply request your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's AmericanCruiseLines.com.
It is one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, full of the wisdom of ancient cultures and the directed hope of modern thinkers. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Discover how we're made of sunlight and what this has to do with the impact of fossil fuels on civilization. Read about the coming new ice age and what must be done soon. Understand how ancient cultures valued community and cooperation and what we can learn from them. Get in touch with the secret of enough, the meaning of wealth, and the wealth of security. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight helps us understand and heal our relationship to the world, to each other, and to our natural resources. We have much to learn and even more to remember. Here is your guide, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
The American middle class is on its deathbed. Ordinary folks who put in a solid day's work can no longer afford to buy a house, send their kids to college, or even get sick. If you're not a CEO, you're probably screwed. In his latest book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It by Tom Hartman, Air America host Tom Hartman shows how the middle class, a product of democracy that was so carefully put together by our country's founding fathers, has been systematically dismantled over the past quarter century and, under the guise of freeing the market, replaced by an anti-democratic system designed to line the pockets of the super rich and corporations. Hartman shows that it's not too late to return to the America our founders envisioned. Democracy requires a fair playing field. It will survive only if we the people stand up, speak out, and reclaim our democracy. To find out more about Tom's book tour, or to get an audio sneak peek of Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It, visit TomHartman.com. Get Screwed by Tom Hartman. Available in all fine bookstores now.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. In my new book, Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture, I'm looking at the deteriorating state of our planet, where the dynamics of environmental, economic, and population change are boiling over the limits within which society can function. I'll be busting the myths and ideologies of religious fundamentalism, capitalism run amok, male domination and hierarchy, and militarism that are draining our world of its natural and human resources and engendering the suffering of millions for the benefit of a few. Threshold examines cultures that have thrived from the mother city of Caral, Peru to modern Denmark, and targets five areas of policy, national, religious, economic, corporate, and environmental, for specific and immediate reform. Radical in scope and boldness, but simple in its common sense logic, my book Threshold illustrates the mistakes we have made as a culture, as a country, and as individuals, and provides the inspiration and motivation that you're looking for to build a better, more sustainable world for all. It's available in fine bookstores everywhere. Threshold.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. I'm starting the new year. Louise and I are starting the new year just the way we finished it, with one great night's sleep after another, thanks to our Cozy Earth bedding. These are the softest, most comfortable sheets ever. Cozy Earth was founded to help transform lives by offering the softest, most luxurious, and responsibly sourced bedding in the world. And with over 5,000 five-star reviews on their website, they're clearly doing just that. Cozy Earth uses only luxury materials, such as the finest premium viscose made from highly sustainable bamboo. No wonder Cozy Earth is the brand that made Oprah's Favorite Things 5 years in a row.
And Cozy Earth bedding, which comes in six awesome colors, is super soft, lightweight, and temperature regulating, so you sleep more comfortably year-round. Whether it's their luxury sheets, their loungewear, pajamas, or their plush bath towels, you will love shopping at CozyEarth.com. Plus, Cozy Earth bedding comes in a beautiful reusable canvas tote. So get cozy now. Hurry, save 35% on Cozy Earth. I can get you that discount if you go to CozyEarth.com, enter my promo code Tom, T-H-O-M, and you'll save 35%. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code Tom, T-H-O-M, CozyEarth.com. Welcome back, 24 minutes past the hour, and let's see here. Oh, the shale revolution. I wanted to talk about this, and then I'll pick up your phone calls probably on the other side of the break at the bottom of the hour, starting with Tom in Orlando. But you will recall, it's been a long time since I did this this topic. I wrote a book about oil and the era of oil back in 1996. It was called The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight. And that book, we revised it in 2003, and then we revised it again around 2013 or 2014. So it's the science in it is pretty up to date. And at the time that I first wrote that, in the 90s, there was a concern that we were hitting peak oil, that the world was going to run out of oil in short order. Well, you know, that kind of went away for a while because Halliburton had bought the rights to this new technology, fracking, and they were suddenly able to pull oil from places where you couldn't get oil before. It used to be if you wanted to get oil, you had to drill into a giant pool of it, an underground lake of oil. And then you, like on a straw, you just suck that oil up. That's, for example, what Saudi Arabia is doing. That's what was happening in Ohio and Pennsylvania back in the 1800s. Well, eventually, you know, you drain those pools if they're not big enough, and that's why you don't see oil wells in Ohio and Pennsylvania anymore, even though Pennzoil was, and John Rockefeller started his oil business in Ohio. It was Standard Oil of Ohio. They just, you know, they sucked it all out of the ground. So what came along to replace it was fracking shale. Shale is, you know, rock that has some oil in it, but it's not a giant pools of it. So you inject massive quantity under pressure, massive quantities of liquid down in there, and it cracks open the rock, the shale rock, and the oil seeps out of that rock, and then you suck that oil back up. It's a little more expensive, but it gets oil. The problem is that there is a very limited amount of oil in most of these shale formations. And the best guess back when Halliburton started doing this in the late 90s was that most shale formations would be good for between 10 and 25 years of oil production. Whereas some wells, I mean, Saudi Arabia has been sucking out of the same wells literally since the turn of the 20th century, you know, for over 100 years. And that's true of some of the oil wells we have in the United States too, and you know, from Oklahoma down through Texas. So the bill is coming due. I'll finish with this on the other side of this break.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Because the punchline to this story is we're going to see a huge consequence of this change in how shale oil happens in the next 2 years.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families.
It's
a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing civic media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it. I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
I lived alone and was having problems with my landlord. He's a creep. One night I'm watching TV and I hear my landlord letting himself in. Hey, get out. You can't keep coming in.
I'm just here to fix your fridge and spend some time together.
Get out. I'm reporting you.
Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair Housing. The law is on your side. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
When the wolf?
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say?
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, we're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. So the police should be reaching out to this community. And this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at midnight tonight and continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Overcast skies today with a high of 33. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 27. Tonight, snow likely. Overcast tomorrow, snow likely, 32. 4 to 8 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 31.
So in that role is my job as people, everyone is my business. But unfortunately, in that year, I would lose my own brother, Lance Corporal Adam Jackamack, to suicide. The majority of veteran suicides are from guns. I store my weapons securely, not only for myself, but for my family. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide. My service never stops.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. We're available on Sirius XM, Free Speech TV, Pacifica, commercial stations nationwide, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, on the Tom Hartman app, and you can even tell your smart speaker to listen to the Tom Hartman program. All right, to wrap this up, actually, before I get to that, Sean and I were just talking. Louise took down our Christmas tree. Here it is. It's only the second week of January. I don't think Christmas trees should go down until March 1st, right? I think that we should have a holiday. I mean, this was on Drudge yesterday. A bunch of scientists declared that yesterday was the most depressing day of the year. Now, I don't, you know, necessarily agree with all their weird science, but, you know, the shortest day of the year is right around Christmas. It's typically the day or 2 days before Christmas. But you got all your Christmas lights and you got the Christmas tree, or you've got, you know, or if you're not, you know, if you don't celebrate Christmas and there's other holidays and, you know, all this. So it's a holiday season. It's festive, right? And what was it? Robert Frost, I think, said, you know, February is the cruelest month, you know, so February is on its way and it's going to be a crappy, cold, short day, long night month. So why don't we put up lights that now you've got these LED lights that can be controlled by computer, right? And the colors. And so somebody should make lights so that and Sean was telling me this is what she does on her houseboat, is that for the Christmas, she's got the Christmas lights up, but some of them are just white lights. And so after Christmas, she takes down the colored lights and leaves up the white lights. So it's still festive and it's still holiday and it's still winter. I like that. That's a great idea. But when do you think we should be taking? Anyhow, I'll just toss that out there. If, you know, there are open lines at 202-808-9925. Let me finish up this oil and gas thing. This piece is by Miles McCormick, Chris Campbell, and Derek Brower in the Financial Times today, FT.com. And it's titled, What the End of U.S. Shale Revolution, the U.S. Shale Revolution Would Mean for the World. And this goes back to this idea that, you know, what made Dick Cheney rich, I mean, Halliburton was on the verge of bankruptcy. Well, actually, what made him rich was starting a war with Iraq, but ultimately. But, you know, Halliburton's whole thing was fracking. And the concern is that fracking produces oil, but it only produces limited amounts of oil for relatively limited periods of time. And so they're noting a 15-year energy and technology upheaval in which fracking made the world's largest consumer of oil and gas, its biggest producer, has reached an apogee. Now, an apogee is the peak of the cycle, right? It's the top, it's as high as you go. And in other words, the oil output, and I would add natural gas, although this article is almost entirely about oil, but the oil output of the United States is going to start dropping. And it's going to start dropping quickly. They're suggesting, like, this year and next. And they say, but that transformation, that's transformative age is drawing to a close, say analysts, with unpredictable consequences. New wells are yielding less oil. That's because we're having to look for, you know, more and more exotic formations. The chief executive of Pioneer Natural Resources, a guy named Scott Sheffield, who is the country's largest shale oil producer, told the Financial Times, quote, the aggressive growth era of U.S. shale is over. The shale model definitely is no longer a swing producer. In other words, they're no longer able to fill in the gaps between what the United States uses and what we need, or what we have available to us. They go on to add, the International Energy Agency says the world will burn another 1.7 million barrels a day in 2023. In other words, that's over what we normally are burning. Typically, we burn 102 million barrels, or we burn around 100 million barrels a day. They say that by 20, By the end of this year, it's going to hit 102 million barrels a day. And Goldman Sachs forecasts a demand leap this year of 2.7 million barrels per day, pushing oil prices back above $100 a barrel. Shale was producing all this spare capacity, and Jeff Curry, who is the global head of commodities research at Goldman Sachs, these are people who invest in oil, right? They're right now making their bets on where oil is going to go. He said, quote, "Today that flexibility is gone, pushing us back to the old oil order of OPEC dominance." And then they go on to note, nowhere encapsulates shale story better than North Dakota's Bakken field. In the decade to 2020, the state's oil production rocketed more than sevenfold to almost 1.5 million barrels a day, more than some OPEC members produce. But, you know, that's crashing. The Bakken's output slumped to a little over 1 million barrels a day and has barely recovered. Just 39 rigs are now operating across the field in the first week of January, down from more than 200 rigs a year ago. The Bakken's heyday is over. I'm quoting from this article in the Financial Times. And they point out, unlike conventional oil production, output from newly drilled shale wells plummets after a year or so of operation. See, I told you, 10, 15, 20 years, total lifespan, but really the first year is where most of the oil comes. And they say to hold output steady each year, companies must keep drilling new wells. Tens of thousands have been drilled across the U.S. in the last 15 years. But we're running out of places to drill them. I mean, yes, they're still sitting on thousands and thousands of permits to drill, but the high quality shale is vanishing. And the conclusion of the article is that this is going to put the oil market, I'm quoting, and the geopolitical heft back in the hands of Saudi Arabia and OPEC and the oil companies. So get ready. Number one, we're going to see, just in time for the election, once again, I guarantee it, and this time there'll be some sort of a rationale beyond oil companies making huge profits, but you're going to see in 2024 oil prices start going up. You're going to see gas prices start going up. Never a better time to electrify your home, right? And your transportation. And hopefully, this can be the beginning of a major transition. But, we'll see how it shakes out. Anyhow, let's pick up your phone calls here in this last half hour of the program. Tom in Orlando, listening on SiriusXM. Hey, Tom, what's up?
Good, Tom. How are you doing today?
Fine, thank you. What's up?
Great. So a little light bulb went off after some of the January 6th paperwork came out. All the Republicans, with all these lax gun laws and open carry and open carry no permit. So we had the insurrection, and they didn't pull it off. So when one of the Republicans talked about the enacting martial law, they obviously didn't think about that, and that will be into insurrection 2.0 if there's a Republican in and a Democrat wins the election. So they're going to have they're going to have guns on the streets because they've already been to the White House for the first one, or the Capitol, I'm sorry. So what's not to say insurrection 2.0?
It wouldn't surprise me at all, Tom.
Declared martial law.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. And I think that the reason why the guys with the guns were asking Trump to declare martial law is because they thought that, much like the right-wing militias in Chile joined with the army in helping Pinochet overthrow the government, much like the right-wing militia that Hitler had assembled, he had a volunteer militia. It was the German equivalent of the Proud Boys. They were called the Brown Shirts. Mussolini started his whole thing with, he marched on Rome in 1917, I think it was. Maybe it was 1921, I forget the year. Anyway, he had 20,000 black shirts. And again, they were volunteers. They bought their own uniforms and everything. And they were volunteer militias. And so these militia people thought that they would be embraced by the U.S. Army and the National Guard if the Army and National Guard fell in with Donald Trump. And, the question is, will that be the case? Is that how it's going to work out? And I'm skeptical. I think that they had their moment in the sun. I think they had their opportunity. They missed it just barely. We nearly lost our democracy, and we're still in deep, deep trouble. But, you know, I totally get your point, Tom. But I think these guys are living in fantasy land to a large extent. But we'll see.
But say a DeSantis is in there. Pray to God that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
He wouldn't hesitate to stay in power. He's smart enough to do it. Trump is way too stupid, as we all saw.
Well, also, Trump tried something that had never been tried before. And you know, very often the first time, Wilbur and Orville, right? The first time you try, it doesn't always work. You know, Edison went through 10,000 light bulbs
Absolutely.
Before he made one that worked. And so now there's a template. Now we know, or the right wing knows, you know, what to do and what to avoid. And if anything, they're fine tuning that understanding with what Bolsonaro just did. So
absolutely.
We'll see.
Plus, all the voter suppression, it took Joe Biden 7,000 votes more to win the election, just to win the same election that Hillary lost. So how many more? It's going to be 10 million votes they're going to have to win to overcome their voter suppression.
I think you're right. Yeah, it was 7 million votes by which Joe Biden won the election, and 3 million votes by which Hillary Clinton won the election, although she did not win the Electoral
and
College.
And lost.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because of the Electoral College.
Exactly. Excellent point. Tom, thanks a lot for the call. I'm with you.
Absolutely.
I'm completely with you. Thanks a lot for the call, and thanks for your patience. David in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hey, David, you wanted to speak to Tim Ryan's loss after my little rant there?
Yes. Yeah. He lost because he really did not support the Democratic Party. He trashed Nancy Pelosi, which was unbelievable.
All right.
During the primary,
he turned off the base. Do you think that's what happened?
Oh, without question.
Because he thought he was going to get independents and Republicans. He thought the people would realize how crazy Vance was.
Yes, as a matter of fact, in his commercials, he talked about how he voted against Nancy Pelosi. He was not always with her. How he supported Trump. And he also had a number of ads in which he would be with Republicans. There were billboards throughout Hamilton County, which is where Cincinnati is located, where there were Republicans who said, we're supporting a real candidate. He got all of their endorsements.
Right.
And then when it came time to vote, he didn't win. But he turned off a lot of folks. He could have won very easily, in my opinion. Like you take the person who defeated Shabbat, Greg Lansman. They came after him. The Republicans did that. He was defunding the police. He was this, that, and the other, and so forth. But what? Oh, here comes the music.
Sorry.
Can I call back tomorrow?
No, you can finish your thought.
Here, this more. Well, the difference between Lansman, who supported Nancy Pelosi because he worked for her, and his strategy, and he had, in his ad, he had the chief of police, the Hamilton County chair.
Right.
He had all this law enforcement folks with him.
I get it. David, I'm out of time. I'm sorry.
Tom
Thank you.
Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
I think the lesson out of the Tim Ryan experience is never blow up your base. Don't defy the expectations of your voters. We'll be right back.
Hey, Hey, Pack Rat. Yeah, you. Are you moving cross country and you just don't know who to call? Call us right now. Listen, you've probably seen one of our containers in your neighborhood, but did you know that we can help you move anywhere in the United States? It's real simple. We'll drop a container off at the location you tell us to bring it to. You pack up your valuable possessions at your leisure. They stay safe right in your home. And when you're ready, call us. We'll come and pick up the container and give you a scheduled date of when your furniture and the other possessions will be at your new home. So if you're moving across country or across town, be a Pack Rat. Join the Pack Rat family. Call Pack Rat right now for your free quote. See y'all later, Pack Rats.
800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. That's 800-334-5468.
There's a software solution to every business need, and Capterra.com can help you find yours. Whether you're a startup looking to keep better track of customers, a nonprofit hoping to have a record fundraising year, or a business that simply needs better payroll software, Capterra's got you covered. Capterra has over 400 categories of business software for you to choose from. Anything from email marketing to scheduling to accounting and beyond. Capterra makes it easy to find what you're looking for, with thousands of ratings and reviews from actual software users just like you. Best of all, using Capterra is absolutely free. Capterra connects you with the business software that will help you do what you do better. Visit Capterra.com today and join the millions of people who use Capterra. That's Capterra, C-A-P-T-E-R-R-A.com, Capterra.com.
How can Chris be so relaxed when his big interview is today? Because he searched jobs on Glassdoor.com. Out of millions of listings, he filtered by distance and salary to find the job that was right for him. He researched the company on Glassdoor, too. He read employee reviews. He knows they have great medical, even free donut Fridays. So he has nothing to worry about and everything to look forward to. Glassdoor. Find the job that fits your life. Go to Glassdoor.com or download the app today.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders from KFC here with some real news. My delicious world-famous original recipe fried chicken is available at a KFC near you. It has been and will be until the end of time. No matter what's happening in the world, you can trust that my original recipe chicken is always made with 11 herbs and spices. Many unnamed sources agree. It's delicious. Get it in a KFC $10 chicken share and enjoy it with a friend. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing much more than just a rate. Let me ask you, does calling the company with the best client service in America, with 11 J.D. Power Awards to prove it, matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative, client-focused technology, matter? Does calling the company with 17,000-plus team members who are helping to rebuild the great cities of Detroit and Cleveland matter? Of course it matters. No wonder our clients have made Quicken Loans America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica or one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag your it. It's 8 minutes before the hour. Tom in New Orleans. Hey, Tom, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, calling about all the decorations. Here in New Orleans, after Christmas, of course, the 12 days of Christmas, January 6th is the 12th day of Christmas. Mm-hmm. That's when we take down our Christmas decorations and we put up our carnival decorations, which is purple, green, and gold.
Oh.
So you can walk around the city and in the suburbs, you can see houses decorated in purple, green, and gold. I decorate my tree. I leave my tree up and put up Mardi Gras decorations because, of course, Mardi Gras ends the carnival season. So it's quite festive in New Orleans from January 6th up until Mardi Gras, which is February 21st this year.
See, we should all be doing this. I mean, we've got 2 months. I mean, you know, December is the month where you have the shortest day of the year. But and without the holidays, it would be a crappy month. But, you know, instead we get crappy January and February. I think you guys have figured something out there, Tom.
Oh, yeah. All right, Tom. Thanks. Yeah. Have a great day.
Thanks for the call. You too. Jim in Austin, Texas. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind today? You want to talk about fracking?
Yeah, I was calling about fracking. The fracking's been something that's been in the industry probably over 100 years, where they just sort of drop dynamite down a hole and crack open the formations down there. Mm-hmm. The problem in the way oil is held, it's not in pools or lakes down there. It's in the pores. It's called porosity. And those pores can have a lot of oil in them, but if they're not connected together, that's called permeability, you can't get very much out.
Right.
So the idea with fracking is, you put something down there, an explosion or a chemistry, and you open it up.
Makes
then,
sense.
Somewhere about 30 years ago, Mitchell, guy out of Houston, figured out with all this directional drilling, we can drill along these formations that may only be 10, 20, 30 feet wide. And with our much more advanced chemistry and such, we can open up that permeability and get a lot more oil out of there.
Right.
The problem is it's still hard to get it out, and the decline curve means that the amount of oil you really get goes down a lot faster than is desirable
right.
from an economic viewpoint. And so that's why some of this is not going to pay off very well.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and you're echoing what I was reading in the Financial Times. And this, you know, tells us that we damn well better get ready for a post-oil era, at least here in the United States. I mean, Saudi Arabia will be coasting just fine for a long, long time to come. But, we need to be dealing with this. Jim, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Sandra in Boston. Hey, Sandra, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I just had a little quick beef with you. I heard you earlier say, you know, it's unlikely that we can impeaching a Supreme Court justice, and I have these discussions with my friends all the time, and I'm always hearing what we can't do. I'd like to see you spin it around and find us a way that we can do these things. I tell people all the time, we're Americans, and we can do it, and the Republicans never seem to have this problem. I told Sean that, you know, Ayn Rand's thing was not how are we going to do it, but who's going to stop me? So
yeah.
I'd like us to take that tack for a while and kind of say, listen, let's find a way to do it. And it's like visualization. My boyfriend always says, you know, if you can see it, you're halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a positive spin. You end your show by saying, you know, tag, you're it. So I'm pushing it back on you, Tom. And I also wanted to throw in very quickly, I do the lights thing too, but I keep my lights up St. Patrick's Day, Valentine's Day, any day. If it's banana day, the lights are going to be yellow.
There you go.
Every day, any chance you can tell. And you'll find lots of reasons to celebrate. But every Mardi Gras coming up,
yeah.
Make a les bon temps roulé. So that, on that note, but let's keep it positive, Tom.
Okay, Sandra. Yes.
You're the best.
Let's
Thank
start
you.
Working toward impeaching, at the very least, you know, Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito for lying to us so often. Sandra, thank you for the call. And I love the lights. Sean's got a neighbor whose lights are now going red for Valentine's Day is the next holiday. So she's making her lights red. Amazing. Anyhow, thanks so much for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. In the meantime, don't forget democracy is not a spectator sport. Seriously, it's not. It doesn't work without all of us. And, it's only a little over 60% of Americans are even registered to vote. Come on. Get your friends out there. Get them active. Get them registered to vote. We got an election coming up. There's work to do. Tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
I'm starting the new year just the way I finished it, with one great night's sleep after another, thanks to my Cozy Earth bedding. They are the softest, most comfortable sheets ever. Cozy Earth was founded to help transform lives by offering the softest, most luxurious, and responsibly sourced bedding in the world. And with over 5,000 five-star reviews on their website, they're clearly doing just that. Cozy Earth uses only luxury materials, such as the finest premium viscose made from highly sustainable bamboo. No wonder Cozy Earth is the brand that made Oprah's Favorite Things 5 years in a row. And Cozy Earth bedding, which comes in six awesome colors, is super soft, lightweight, and temperature regulating, so you sleep more comfortably year-round. Whether it's their luxury sheets, loungewear, pajamas, or plush bath towels, you'll love shopping at Cozy Earth. Hurry, save 35% on Cozy Earth. So get cozy now. Go to CozyEarth.com, enter my promo code Tom, T-H-O-M, and save 30%.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.